whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
I feel like I have a lot of hingedness.
I just want to talk about Sean all 4 hours.
I love these guys.
Let's stick around.
Let's do it. Overtime. I love these guys, but they're not beating any of the allegations. Like
no,
the dismount there was unhinged as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Those guys, fortunately, will continue to permeate into the show because they had a fantastic interview with Nick Caserio, the general manager of your Houston Texans. Want to get into some of that because there was a lot of insight to be garnered from that conversation about this weekend when you face off against the Los Angeles Chargers in the wild card matchup. And nobody cares. This is a me thing, and that's been the story of today. Is just make it about yourself.
I feel like I need to start talking about myself.
Yeah. Do you need me back on?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very proud of myself for saying Los Angeles Chargers and not Los Angeles Clippers, because I don't know why that's where I go whenever I see LAC in my mind, but I did say it right. It is the Chargers.
I've only said San Diego once this week.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah.
I missed it. And then shout out to the text line where you can always get involved with the program, 713-572-4610. Reggie talking about nougat means that Seth is going to eat 10 candy bars now.
This is true.
Immediately, I'd like to apologize to Seth Payne and the entirety of the Payne and Pendergast audience for causing him to fall off the wagon, I imagine. But regardless.
He's never on the wagon.
is that also part of the unhingedness?
He's never on the wagon.
You got John Lopez, Reginald Adetula, Figgy Fig hanging out with you on this Wednesday. It does feel, I heard Seth say this earlier, it does feel like we are a lot closer to the weekend, a lot closer to this game. But no, we are, and maybe that's the slid schedule.
Yeah.
That is a day forward where today is their Thursday on what would be a normal week.
I think it's because Wednesday is usually the day when we turn our attention to the next game, but the regular season doesn't matter anymore, and certainly Sunday didn't matter, so we've been turning our attention to the next game all week.
Back-to-back AFC champs.
Yeah.
Don't forget that.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
This game is clearly the most important thing on the docket. It's what we're all working towards, even as we hit this, I hate saying hump day because it feels weird, but hit this hump day on the week. And
hump day!
Wow, that was loud. Woo! Okay. With this game, I think yesterday I was asking, like, what your confidence meter is in Bobby Slowick. But I think it's fair, let me ask this a question, right, instead of making it as a flat-out statement. Would you say that it is fair to say that this offense, you know, will live and die with the performance of C.J. Stroud?
Well, yes, and not only that, let's sort of read tomorrow's headlines today.
Like, how would you do that? How would you even read tomorrow's? What are you, a time traveler?
Well, you never know.
Do you have a crystal ball?
If C.J. Stroud and the Texans don't get it done, obviously everybody here and everybody listening, well, most everybody listening, I saw Chargers text on the YouTube, which was interesting.
Okay.
Maybe they're listening from L.A. Maybe it's a displaced Chargers fan. Either way, most everybody listening wants the Texans to win. But let's say what we've been talking about pretty much all year and going into this game, and you heard Sean and Seth talking about, you know, everybody thinks the Chargers are going to lose. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. Let's say it doesn't go well. I think this is a defining game in the short term. Now, I'm not going to be over dramatic here and say, oh, you know, it defines C.J. Stroud. No, in the short term, I think it defines C.J. Stroud, because if it doesn't go well, if he gets sacked a lot, if he throws the ball into the dirt a lot, if he misses targets, doesn't get it done, as we've seen on occasion this year.
Not in week 18, baby. Not in the most recent time that we saw him on the field.
Not in those six passes.
Six completions, sir.
Six completions, that's right.
Put some respect.
If it doesn't go well, I think in the short term it kind of defines him for what we're going to be talking about going into the offseason, in the offseason, and going into next season. What was it? You know, what was it with CJ in 2024, 2025? I really do. So it kind of makes me start thinking about what are your reasons and reasons not why he can indeed flip the switch when it matters the most here in the postseason, you know?
Okay. I think that's an interesting place to look at it, and just generally what's the confidence level.
Do you not think we'll be talking about that?
I think that the season that was put on display, especially when you have that stretch kind of in the middle towards the backside of the season for him, where, I mean, you're seeing just a complete, I don't know, lack of confidence, mm-hmm. I think is what is a fair way to describe it from CJ Stroud. That is not going to be easily erased from my memory.
Correct.
Like, as you were talking, right. I was wondering, what is the CJ Stroud performance that takes that out of my memory? Not say, again, not hanging that mm-hmm. around his neck as some level of anvil to hold him down. I still have lots of, you know, good thoughts and, I don't know, good expectations for CJ Stroud as a quarterback in this league. We've seen him be good, and I am holding on to that belief that he is going to be a good quarterback in this league.
Absolutely.
But, like, though, whatever happened in the middle of the season, I don't think that gets wiped away by even just the most exquisite of playoff games in the course.
It helps.
It does.
Yeah.
It does help. But mm-hmm. I think that, yeah, I will still have some conversations or some thoughts about that portion in the season. But with that being the case, like, yeah, what it would be necessary for him? Like, I think one of the things and one of the reasons why that one drive, even though I think some of us would like mm-hmm. to have liked to be a little bit longer, but still, one drive where he looks really good is that it looked like he was getting back to some of the things yes. that are innately what make him good, which is getting the ball out on time, but really getting it, putting the ball, maybe not even pinpoint, but in the places that it needs to be to make mm-hmm. completions easier, not flat out missing guys, and then also seeming like trusting his teammates, and maybe the right way to put it is reevaluating the situation and putting the right amount of responsibility on himself, not too much responsibility.
Correct. Himself. Like if he wins, it's a big salve. It's a big way to start feeling better about him. And if you ask me, do you have confidence that CJ Stroud is going to be a great quarterback? You said very good. If you ask me, do I think he's going to be a great quarterback in the NFL? My answer is yes. But there's another question. If it doesn't go well this weekend on Saturday, what is our conversation going to be about CJ Stroud for the entirety of the offseason going into next year? I think that's a different answer. I think it's those questions of, you know, what happened? You know, was it Bobby? Was it him? Is he what we thought he was? All that. So,
how does CJ get his groove back?
Is the major motion picture that you'd be trying to make
all season?
Just like Stella. And I think that's huge. I think that's why this is, at least in the short term, kind of a defining game for CJ Stroud. I really do believe that.
Also, I guess one of the things that it could be, right, and this is me kind of throwing stuff mm-hmm. at the wall in some ways, is as much as I hate it, and I know you see me rolling my eyes, especially if you're on the YouTube or the Twitch,
mm-hmm.
When we start getting to, like, the better quarterbacks in this league historically, mm-hmm. we start talking about what the playoff, you know, resume ultimately
Absolutely.
Is. And again, he is incredibly young. What is he, 22?
23 still.
23 years, yeah. years of age. Right, like, there's a lot of time that still remains in here, but, like, when we start pulling up playoff records and all those things, those are going to come up. And again, I don't subscribe to the notion mm-hmm. of quarterback wins.
But it's going
to
be out there.
That would be another thing. So having CJ in that place playing better would be great. On the text line from the 936, not trusting CJ, although his facial expressions have looked better since last Sunday's walking into the stadium, his face says it all. I'm interested in what you're going for there.
Mm-hmm.
Are we doing the thing we're reading too much into stuff, or is that like maybe some idea of trying to point to one of the things that I'm talking about, which mm-hmm. is where it feels like he is at some points taking on a lot of responsibility on himself? And I think there is something to be said for really good young quarterbacks, and I think I've tried to make this point a few times this mm-hmm. year, where there is going to be a moment where, hey, we're not just playing with the natural ability or whatever, or playing on all pro. Now we're playing on all Madden to make the video game. Like we're adding more to this. We're reading more of these defenses. We're trying to, you know, we're trying to learn mm-hmm. more of what this takes at this higher level, and that applies more pressure onto you and more responsibility onto you. And maybe you're seeing his face and seeing those wheels turn, I guess is the way that you might be seeing that. But I don't know that I'm fully going to the place of looking at his face and seeing it all.
Well, I agree with you on that, but I think we're in the business of not just us fans and actually people in the NFL overreacting to these type things, because that's all you're seeing. But excuse me, if you want to see what the narrative might be like with CJ Stroud if things don't go well, look across the field. I mean, it's going to be a mini version of Herbert.
That's interesting, because Herbert exists in this place where he's great,
but you know.
And, I mean, so much of that is...
He's got the skill. Boy, does he have the skill.
So much of that is context. Like, so much of that is...
But that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. And
he can make every throw. But You know?
Yeah. And what's funny is that there is kind of a, I guess, a narrative kind of argument there. But then there's a lot of people who either are film nerds or, you know, numbers nerds or whatever. I say that affectionately, mind you. I'm trying not to be a jerk, at least. Well, go to their graves, talk about how, hey, no. Understand, Justin Herbert is still one of the best quarterbacks in this league.
You're sitting across from one.
So, yeah.
I really like Justin Herbert.
100%.
But even when I've said that more recently, I've also said, but, you know, and that's kind of the atmosphere that C.J. Stroud is going to be living in if it doesn't go well.
It's kind of like that Peyton Manning thing, where Peyton Manning was always good in the regular season. Mm-hmm. And at one point, he couldn't get over the hump in the playoffs. Remember, it took a long time for him to get to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And that was always the conversation.
John Elway.
But and I guess here's the thing, right? That is more of our domain. Like, you ask yourself, for the actual team themselves, is that something that you should or that you do kind of keep track of? Because for him, he's just got to go about, he's got enough to worry about, right? We're trying to get a win. And even like he was kind of asked in a similar way, because there's been a lot of noise around this game, a lot of it being doubt towards this Houston Texans team that is about a 3-point underdog at home in this one. And so CJ Stroud was asked yesterday in his media availability, how are you able, and not just you, but you all as a team, able to block out all the outside noise?
Yeah, I mean, noise is always going to be there. You know, it's always, you know, it's part of sports, always evident in the sport. And they said the same thing about us last year, you know, so playing the Browns. And I'm not saying it's last year, but, you know, we went out there and we did what we had to do to win. And that's ultimately what the playoffs come down to, is like, you know, it's 14 teams now and, you know, the microscope is on you. You know, we're the first team to kick it off with the Chargers, and, you know, so everybody has their own opinions, which they're entitled to have those things. So, you know, I really don't mind. I mean, it's part of it. You know, guys are smart. They probably can see film and see that, you know, whatever they want to see. So, and for us, we know we have faith in what we can do, and know, you know, that we're motivated to play. I kind of like being an underdog. I've been an underdog a lot of my life and my career, so it's actually comfortable for me. So, but yeah, I don't really think too much about it.
I mean, flat out, you know, flat out said, they said the same thing about us last year. All right. It goes one of two ways now. Why wasn't he the guy last year that sort of shocked a lot of people, and got that win? Or is he the guy that, well, what happened? You know?
That's interesting. Take me through that thought process one more time. Like, the idea of why wasn't he the guy last year?
If it doesn't go well. Is what I'm saying. Because last year he came in, they came off this huge win against Indianapolis, got the home playoff game, and all of a sudden just destroyed the Browns.
Yeah.
And now here's similar but different, if that makes any sense. You know, had a nice little feel good moment against the Titans, seemed to be maybe getting things going, and then he comes into this game. If he and the Texans, you know, lay an egg, it's going to be a different narrative.
I think last year was a little different, though.
Oh, it was.
Because last year he was a rookie quarterback, and for some reason people just was waiting on the rookie to come out of C.J. Stroud, because he didn't look like a rookie last year.
Well, you say for some reason. The reason is because this is what rookies do. Like, rookies will look like rookies in the playoffs, and that is not, I mean, that's the idea. Like, this moment becomes what we weed out the lesser teams, and in theory you're only playing good teams, and the stakes of this moment make them a little bit more difficult, and that's why we talk about the idea of experience and all these things. It's for moments like that, so it is reasonable to be like, hey, is a rookie going to look like a rookie in this moment
against one of the best defense in the league last year? And I think a lot of people was feeling the Joe Flacco fever.
Yes.
Too, let's be real.
Yes.
And he turned into a pumpkin. So I think that's why people, I think this year, I don't look at the Chargers as like the Browns of last year, because I think they're a good team, but I don't know if they the best or best defensive team anything like that. So,
I think like it's just a different circumstance. I think that, like, obviously if you're inclined to actually look at the context, I think those answers will come through a lot more cleanly. And maybe you can easily lean on people that you can look at as certain levels of experts. Now, would you consider one Jim Harbaugh as an expert?
Yes.
I called Jim Harbaugh to the witness stand. This is Jim Harbaugh talking about C.J. Stroud yesterday in his media availability.
You know, from the moment, watching him on tape, you know, as a high school player, I was like, wow,
you know, really intrigued. And then flew out to Los Angeles, got in a rental car, and drove up to Rancho Cucamonga. And you know, just watching him play in person, you know, from the side. And then I started watching him from the end zone. I'm like, this guy's the real deal. I mean, he's going to go all the way. And, wish we would have got him. But to come to our school, but he's a great player. You know, just there's all the talent is there. I mean, he's got the courage. So many times I've seen, like, you know, defender coming right at him, and he just stands in there, you know, lets him get close enough, almost knows they're going to hit him, and then he's able to, you know, get the ball up over him, around him, and we're talking 16, 18 yard in breaking dig routes or routes to the sideline, and he's a great guy and tremendous competitor.
Is that what we've been saying?
It sporadically, which feels like that's kind of been the name of the game with this Texans team, is that in moments you see flashes of what the pieces are that make this team a good team.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't put it together consistently. And I think going back
and,
to
and
kind
that
of
goes back to CJ Stroud.
Right, going back to the original thought is like, hey, what kind of would you want to see from CJ in order to kind of put yourself your best foot forward? Those types of things, right? That level of confidence where you can stand in and feel comfortable standing in and, you know, showing your arm and, again, looking a little bit like your 6-for-6 drive there in Tennessee, where you're getting the ball out, throwing with anticipation and hitting your mark. Because when he does that, we've seen how good he is. Mm-hmm. And if he does that on Saturday, actually, you know what? Nay, when he does that
there
on Saturday.
There we go. Okay.
You'll be able to live with the results, which honestly, if he does that, are probably a favorable one.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to bring up something totally different. Is it a little scary that, like, I kind of forget Jim Harbaugh actually coached against CJ Stroud in college?
There are a lot of
them. And he has some of his rougher games was against Michigan.
There are a lot of coaching stories that are sort of intertwined in this game. And I'm sure we'll get to him. And I'm sure we'll get to, like, I want to make very clear, there are reasons why. And he kind of alluded to it there. He said it's there, you know, with CJ Stroud. There are reasons to believe why it will happen, as you said. There's also reasons to believe why it may not happen.
100%. And especially of late, over the last, month or so. You've seen more of the reason why you might not expect it to happen. It's one of the reasons why so much of the conversation nationally around this team is negative, is because in the recent form of things, you have not seen them play at least consistently to the level and to all of the things that you point to as to why this team can be good or great. And this is why I wanted to see them play good football coming in. And this is why it's so important that, you know, you get that out of him, because, again, this is a team that you're playing against that is coached well, that does not make a lot of mistakes. And it feels like this Texas team, when they're the best, they also they're also doing that. Are they going to be that version of themselves, or are they going to be the version of themselves that it feels like they have
been more
often than not?
And that's what makes them a scary team, man.
Yeah.
For me, too. They make them scary. They are a scary team for
either way,
and for me watching them as well.
Either way, but the talent is there, and it's like, man, I don't know what CJ we going to get.
Yeah.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We're just getting going on a Wednesday here in the loop. We're going to get our guy Adam Spillane live from, I believe he's from our nation's capital, as the Rockets played out there yesterday. But before we get there, let's get to our question of the day here next. What's your niche sport of choice? Nick Caserio had an interesting answer. We'll discuss it next.
Biggie, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready, because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez.
It is what it is, means nothing.
And Reggie Adetula.
And that, my friends, is a scorigami.
Always live, always local.
713, what's the damn number? 572-4610.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Adetula, Figgy Fig. That number to call, or text rather, is 713-572-4610. Let us know how you feeling about this question of the day. What's your niche sport of choice? And I don't know why that we're saying that word.
You can say it either way, by the way.
Yeah, niche or niche.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I find myself somewhere in between. And
it's more elegant.
No, it's not.
data.
Yeah, exactly.
That is fair.
Tomato, tomato.
Well, nobody says tomato.
Are you sure?
That drives me nuts.
Are you certain?
Yes.
No tomatoes.
Name one person.
Let me get a junior Whopper cheeseburger with no tomatoes.
No tomato.
Please. I'm gonna do that one day.
Name one person in the history of your life that has said the word tomato. 713-572-4610.
That's fair.
Never, ever, ever.
Yeah. Say it when I go out the country.
Who says potato?
Toddlers probably. To be honest. Potato. Yeah. That's not the question. The question of the day is, what is your niche sport of choice? As Texas All Access, always a good product, always a good thing to listen to. Both when they have coffee with Coach on Mondays, and then also you'll hear Nick Caserio later today. And one of the things they like doing, they kind of add a little bit of personality, a little bit of humanity to it by asking kind of a fun question on the backside of the interview. And this week's was kind of about playoffs in other sports. Like, what are the ones that they tap into that they're interested in? And interestingly enough, Nick Caserio likes him some NFL, or all the wrong sports, some NBA basketball playoffs. I was like, oh, that's not what I anticipated. Now, in giving his answer, he kind of pointed out to one of, I guess, what I would consider a niche sport because it's outside of the major America, the big four, the major America four sports of NBA, NFL, MLB, and NHL. And this was Casario's answer.
I'm all in on anything golf related. I was watching the Century Classic over in Hawaii to kick off the golf season.
That's right.
So
that's
I'll watch golf anytime, any place, any time of the year. Ryder Cup has a that is the juices flowing.
Atta baby, that's my guy.
Golf.
That's my guy right there. That's what I'm talking about, Nick. We can talk golf anytime you want. Guess what? My number one niche sport is. By the way. I can watch golf. I put it on every weekend. Usually every Sunday for sure, and oftentimes on Saturday as well.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like,
it'd be the John Deere Classic. I don't care.
I will tap in for some majors. Like, obviously the Masters is just it's a very particular thing. Mm-hmm. Like the Masters,
it's its own sport.
I don't know how they got us wrapped around their finger man. Like I can remember being in college, being in classes, like streaming the Masters. As someone who doesn't like watch that much golf, televised golf, like I got the leaderboard up and everything in a way that is completely different than these other things. And yes, 281, probably fair to put college football in there as well. Technically not professional sports, but also it is professional sports. I was interested that he said golf. And since you mentioned golf, before we get into some of the other niche sports that people are into and actually like spend time going out of the way to watch and such. Did you see the TGL? This thing that ESPN has gotten into, Tiger Woods has a level of stake in it. Rory as well. I know I saw them both heavily televised during his broadcast. Did you watch their first match?
I watched highlights. I'm not going to lie to you people, but I watched.
Who is you people?
You know who you are.
What?
You people. But I think it has potential. I'm not saying it's there yet. But especially in today's world where it's fast, 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 top golf instead of golf. And, you know, the what's called it, nine that the afternoon guys always play. East River Nine. And I think in today's world where you want to be quick through it, driving range instead of playing, I think this has some potential.
It does. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that it was going on forever.
Well, that
it
is
did
true.
It did. See, go on for a long time, but it was fun in the minute. Like when you dropped in, like I did appreciate the idea of controlled environment and being able to kind of see the ways that they're making this. Like there's a physical green in this stadium area that, you know, morphs depending on the hole that they're playing. One of the things I didn't love. It feels like they're playing on a golf. I mean, they are playing on a golf simulator in some ways when they're driving and, you know, chipping and, you know, maybe hitting out of sand if they end up in a bunker, which it is nice that they have actual fairway, actual rough, actual green that they're hitting off of. But then it goes, you know, into the screen and it feels like the ball doesn't react naturally as it would.
Yeah.
And that's a small nitpick to, I guess, throw out there. But I was real interested in that. I was like, I was surprised because it was just a kind of a thing that was on after college basketball. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I would tap back into this.
Yeah, it's got potential. So golf, far and away, is mine. A couple of others that people will argue if they're even sports, but you're talking about niche sports that kind of hook you when you're,
That is a surfing. Pun, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, well, yes, it is. You know what's coming when you're surfing. Fishing tournaments.
You watch fishing tournaments?
All the time.
God bless.
All the time. I absolutely watch fishing tournaments. And a little bit embarrassed to say this, kind of been tapping in on some pickleball.
Playing or watching?
No, the competitions.
That's asinine to me. those feel like sports that, like, hey, you go do those things, yeah. And shout out to you. I am not watching
you compete
at those things. I mean, I got a lot of them that I think a lot of people will consider. And no, I don't consider NBA basketball in that. But, like, if you would consider women's basketball, I like a lot of that. Well, soccer is probably the big one
me
for
too.
Me.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, again, outside of the major, I know we were talking about a pre-show, the idea that
I wouldn't count soccer as one because it's a huge sport.
It's enormous.
Fair enough.
But maybe a little bit more niche here, but the ratings are pretty dang good.
Yeah, it might be niche in America a little bit.
Gaining.
But a lot of people watch soccer too.
By the way, Manchester U and Liverpool with a tie this weekend.
They did. And really, Manchester should have won. Y'all was playing like some jokers.
What are you talking about?
Y'all look sorry. Hey, man, if Harry Maguire didn't... All right, there's nobody cares. Somebody said those are sports for unathletic white people. Hey, there's unathletic black people playing them things, too.
Hey, come on now. I'm Hispanic, I'll have you know. Anyway.
Yeah, that's right. I feel like me and Figgy have one in common as well, which is one that came in from the 832, tennis.
Of course, yeah.
And we're getting into that season here soon.
Yeah. Like,
we're coming up.
I tap in on the tennis channel. Sometimes I just put it on there, just see who like what old matches on and stuff like that. Yeah, like I'm really into it, man.
I'm real interested in what AG73 is coming with here. Curling
only 4 years. Every four years.
Like when we get to the Winter Olympics, right?
It hooks you though.
Curling is probably the one thing that if I see it, or now you know where you have the option to go and just watch whatever. If I can find curling on, I'll usually put it on.
Yeah.
Like that, but I just the other competitions of curling, I'm never like the stakes aren't there for me.
No,
I kind of get hooked, and this is I'm using this loosely. I'm not tapping in like for hours on this, but table tennis kind of hooked me a little
bit. All right, well don't make fun of my
table every 4 years,
and this ain't no playing table tennis at the bar with a girl or something.
Yeah, the good stuff.
Like I'm talking about the competitive sweating and going 20 feet back hitting the ball. Like that kind of hooked me a little bit.
A couple of more on the text board, which I used to be much more into this, and now I just kind of tap in for the big races, and that's NASCAR.
I'm in on NASCAR.
Yeah,
I like, and this is where the pandemic changed our lives in many ways that we couldn't have foreseen.
Mm-hmm.
Me being all in on NASCAR, like I remember there was a time when you know I was in my grandmother's house out in West Houston, right? And she didn't have cable. And so you put on just whatever's on the low, you know, in the summer when it's just like there's nothing on TV in the middle of a Saturday. And I remember like watching some races, and that's just being a kid bored, finding something on.
Yeah.
That was the closest I got to like, oh, yeah, I really rock with NASCAR. Or just like, hey, everybody knows what's happening with Jeff Gordon, right? Like everybody knows certain names. But then actually getting into NASCAR where I'm checking on points. I'm seeing what's happening. I'm understanding who these people are. I could have never imagined. Here I am not betting, entertainment only dollars exchanging with my friends about NASCAR races.
Speaking of racing, how y'all feel about horse racing? Because it just started up last weekend.
Sam Houston.
Sam Houston. I actually went out there.
I saw your videos. Excellent, by the way.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Only the big races. And that includes if somebody invites me to one of the stakes races out here at Sam Houston, I'll go.
I've never had the money to participate in those things. And that feels like one of those things where if you ain't betting,
it gets loud in there too, man. I was in there and all of a sudden, you know, I was kind of moseying around and all of a sudden, go, yeah! I'm like, what's happening?
I do appreciate the name.
What I was doing.
The naming conventions are good though. Like, hey, how'd you come up with that name? I like just kind of creating some other stuff. I mentioned that. Darts. Darts is elite watching.
Can be. I mean, their skill level is just...
Well, yeah, the skill level, but then I feel like just the environment. Like, some of these things are just carried by... The event looks fun.
Mm-hmm.
And a darts event, when I don't even know what the hall is called or whatever, but when they're in there, it's just people... Apparently, all our education system in America stinks because then people know exactly what the scores are as soon as that dart hits the board and everything.
Yeah.
And they are cheering. They are excited. I'm like, yo, this is incredible. They get... That might be some of the... It looks like the Waste Management Open in there.
Yeah.
Whenever they have a dart.
Another good one is bowling.
Oh, like,
bowling like on TV.
Yeah. Nah, sometimes that get competitive too, mm-hmm. where a guy miss a strike and he's just like, man, I need to get another one. And like, oh, I know I screwed up on this.
Bowling is one of those sports that you have to understand the competitive aspect to get what's happening here. Because if you're just like, yeah, it looks like a lane and they curving that thing in there, it's like, oh, but they have different oil patterns to make it more difficult for you to spin the ball into certain places.
They use different balls.
Yeah.
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah.
Some other things that have come in, volleyball. Yeah, especially like somebody mentioned that they have a daughter, so college volleyball. College volleyball is
it's intense.
Very
intense.
Competitive.
It's intense.
Especially at those high levels. Somebody said breakdancing. World's Strongest Man. I feel like we done lost some recipes on World's Strongest Man. I think like ESPN dictated a lot of this with their kind of, the things that they would have on in other circumstances. World's Strongest Man is one of those things that I feel like they do less of that used to be, if it was on TV, that you might stop for a few minutes and just be like, hey, let me see them carry this boulder and put it up on that high place right quick.
Yeah.
How do you feel about poker?
Poker was fun. I like watching poker. I'm never intentionally trying to watch it, but it's one of those things that if you're like, I don't know, does Space City Home Network end up having
it's
that?
All
like,
over. I think it's all over the place.
Just like you're up at like 2 a.m.
Once in a while, you see some celebrities and athletes in there. I think I saw the rapper Lil Pump. I think he took all the he was on there with Adrian Peterson, which is so random, man. He actually beat Adrian Peterson.
Nick has been on a couple times. Nick Wright.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he sounds. He seems exactly
Nick Casario, man.
Poker after hours.
Who do you think would be better at poker? As I've now expended way too much of our time here between Casario and Nick Wright.
I think Nick. He's got more experience. He plays all the time.
I think Nick. When I said Casario, Wright. Okay, very good. Way to
Nick Casario might have the poker face.
I think he's got the poker face, and I also think that like he might be out here doing like the calculations, like Rain Man esque. You know.
Yeah.
I feel like that is part of it. Poker's not a sport. Okay. Very good. And then I guess you're going to be mad at the 832 who said competitive cornhole. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, I didn't already take it too much of his time, but let's go and to our nation's capital, talk to our guy Adam Spillane about these Houston Rockets. We'll do it next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Who they want? Baseball Spo. Baseball Spo.
Yep, the man. I was about to say the myth and the legend. I don't know that he would appreciate all that. Well, we'll see. His name is Adam Spillane. He joins us. I believe, actually, are you still in the nation's capital, Spo?
I am on the corner of New York Avenue and 7th Street in D.C.
Look at you.
Very good. Wait, what are we doing on the corner there? Or should I not ask those questions over air?
So I'm outside a restaurant where I'm eating lunch, and I decided that I would come outside to do this so I don't disturb all the people inside the restaurant.
Excellent. Okay. All right. So we won't take too much of your eating time, but we did want to talk, obviously, about...
Damn. What's going on out there?
I mean, get out of the street, man.
It's D.C. happening, man. D.C. stuff happening.
Get your ass out the street.
Hey, man. It did look like, I don't know, what was happening with the Rockets early last night, because it looked like maybe they were having some, walking through the streets, walking through traffic type moments. It did not look good early. What did you see from them early that kind of limited their ability, one, to score the basketball, but two, really more importantly, to actually stop the Wizards from doing stuff?
Yeah, I looked at the thermometer on my phone, and it was higher. It was like at 26 degrees, and it was higher than the Rocket shooting percentage at one point in the first quarter. They just kind of it just kind of looked like they were sleepwalking through that first quarter. Washington played okay. They got a nice boost off the bench. I think Washington scored like 16 points off the bench. A lot of it was Corey Kispert, and the Rockets just didn't do a whole lot. Fred VanVleet kind of kept them in it offensively. Jeff Green did a really nice job coming off the bench. I don't think he was the 10th guy that they used in that game last night. I don't necessarily think that he was going to play, but Ime Udoka, I think, thought that they needed some sort of a boost from that bench and some sort of a spark. He gave that to them, and then all of a sudden, Alperen Şengün, who started the game 1-for-7, he started to get hot. Give a lot of credit to Fred VanVleet for making sure to keep getting him the ball and setting up easy shots for him, whether it was in the pick and roll, giving him layups. That got his confidence going, and then Jalen Green started the game 1-for-8. He hits a 3 with 0.3 left on the clock in the first half, and then started 9-of-10 in the second half. So I wish I could take credit for this, but Kurt Goldsberry, who's been the front office guy in the league, a big analytics guy, he said last week on a podcast that the way every GM envisions their team is how it looks when they play against the Wizards. And in the second and third quarter, like, that's exactly what Rafael Stone and Ime Udoka envisioned when they put this roster together. They played fast. They got after it defensively. They forced turnovers. They got out on the break. They had 35 fast break points off of 18 turnovers. Ridiculously efficient in that regard. So just a good win against a bad team.
Amen Thompson, is he gonna Wally Pip Jabari?
I don't know. We're too early in this process to really start to figure out, you know, what things look like whenever Jabari does get healthy. But, I mean, to me, he's not there yet, but he is quickly becoming their best player.
Oh, yes.
And so I don't know. Like, he's still got some things that he's got to clean up. Obviously, the shot being one, the other, he's got to get a little better just with his handle. But it's really hard to keep him off the floor, and I don't know what they're going to do just because they're not going to sit Van Vliet. He's too important to how they run their offense. They're not going to sit Jalen Green because he can be their best scorer when he's right. Dylan Brooks, obviously a great defender. Şengün is Şengün, and Jabari was playing really well before he got hurt. So I don't know what they're going to do. It's a good problem to have, though. You kind of look at it, he's kind of their Eric Gordon from, you know, 6-7 years ago, where they just called Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon was just their sixth starter. And that's kind of what Amen Thompson is right now. It doesn't matter who doesn't play. He's starting in that spot.
We're talking to Adam Spillane right here on Sports Radio 610. And we go from the Wizards there to the Rio Grande Valley Vipers in Edinburgh because Ree Sheppard, he got the G League assignment. I was happy to see it. I didn't realize I was going to be this happy. What at least for the Rockets, was the biggest part of him playing? I know that you couldn't get a full accounting of the evaluation of what he did, but what were they looking to see? Because I definitely was happy about some of the things I saw outside of just 49 points on the stat sheet.
Yeah, they sent him down there with basically a checklist of things to work on, and it's basically everything. You know, it's running the offense, it's getting up shots, it's creating shots. They basically took the approach of, and you see a lot of teams do this in baseball, where you draft a guy, you sign him, and then you basically give that player 30 days and don't touch him and let him do things the way that he wants to do them. And then after that 30 days expires, then you can really start to work with the guy. They wanted to see Ree Sheppard, 20-25 games, see what he had, and then really start to get a feel for what he needed to work on. And he wasn't going to get to work on that stuff at the NBA level right now. They just there are too many other guys. There's just not enough minutes. They've gone with this veteran rotation with Aaron Holiday getting a lot of minutes. So they wanted to get him some minutes in the G League, get him, you know, I think they wanted to probably get his confidence up a little bit too, and certainly scoring 49 will do that for you in your first real game in a while. So it was a good sign. The players, his teammates in the locker room last night in Washington were watching highlights, just like very excited. Mm-hmm. Seeing what he was able to do in the G League last night. But I don't know how long he'll be down there. I did ask Ime Udoka last night, but do you still envision him as being, you know, a major part of your rotation moving forward this season? And he very bluntly said yes. So they expect him to be a contributor at some point as the season goes along.
I'm not going to lie, I'm a little worried about you.
Are you holding up a bank?
I'm a little worried about you.
I mean, it's okay if you are. I just feel like you should move before they get there. You know what I'm saying?
I'd rather not incriminate myself.
Fair enough. No. You know what? This is why I can't be a criminal, because I would have told everybody on air.
But that being said, shifting to baseball, Justin Verlander is a Giant. I'm not going to lie, kind of a mini confession here. It didn't really affect me very much. I mean, I didn't expect it, and I don't know how good he's going to be.
Yeah, I didn't expect the Astros to re-sign him. I am concerned. I was already thinking last night, who are the prospects that they give up to get him back next July when all their other starting pitchers get hurt? I think the writing was certainly on the wall, just seeing how many other guys they do feel like they have. You look at the price that he signed for, $15 million. They obviously weren't going to pay him that. When you consider that they are right up against the CBT at this point. So not a big surprise. You hope for their sake, because they've gone into the last two spring training saying that we've got enough starting pitching, and then they inevitably did not have enough starting pitching.
Yeah.
So you hope for their sake that they do have enough. But at some point, they were going to need to move on from Verlander. I still think he has something left. Just in hearing him talk at the end of last season, how the injury was a lot more than what they let on, and that's kind of you know, where the Astros really do their players a disservice and not coming clean about injuries, because this was a 3-month injury that he had. So he came back earlier than expected, but they didn't tell anybody that it was a 3-month injury. So you're seeing him out on the mound earlier than he should. He's not pitching well, and you're just thinking that he's cooked, when in fact he probably just came back a little too early. So I hope for his sake that he has something left with the Giants. Obviously one of the best pitchers in Astros history. And we'll see how things go. But I know he wants to keep pitching for a long time. He's got that magic number of 300 wins that's still there for him, if he can hang around for a little bit. And he's really the last pitcher of that of this era that has a chance to get to 300 wins.
Adam Spillane, unfair expectation here. 10 words or less. Gray Kessinger for Atascocita High School and Rice alum Matthew Linsky. 10-word analysis.
I have no idea who Matthew Linsky is.
Very good. So excellent. No more words. You did it. That was it. You made it happen. I understand the apologies that you have to Mr. Linsky, to the Rice Owls alums and fans, and to Atascocita High School alums. I understand. But that you did it. You nailed it there.
Blame Reggie.
Yep. Fair enough. Touche. I think he had like an 8 ERA in high A last year, which was a little – I mean, he wasn't in high A for very long. I think it was – I think 6 games, but regardless. And then one more thing, because people are bringing up the fact that Cam Whitmore and Jalen Green seem to have a little bit of beef of some sort. Is there any level of insight there?
I don't have anything on the Whitmore-Jalen Green thing. Obviously, I did see Whitmore. I was like right below Whitmore as he walked off the floor, and just kind of, he was the first one off last night. It's something, I guess, to watch, especially after his weird leaving session last week, but... I don't have a lot for you on that.
Okay, all right.
Stay low, man.
Yeah, stay low. Get inside, stay warm, and eventually, you know, do some digging. Let's. Yeah. I kind of want to find, like, the Cam Whitmore space feels like something we need to watch, right?
Yeah.
It's definitely been bizarre the last week, if that.
Yeah.
All right. Not bizarre. Always when we get a chance to talk to our guy, Adam Spillane, whether he's in here working out or in Washington D.C. having lunch or maybe being accosted by the Secret Service. Be well, my boy.
Thank you, guys. I'll see you on Saturday.
There he is, Baseball Spo. And when he mentioned Saturday, it's because Baseball Spo don't just cover baseball. He covers basketball, and he is always at the home games.
Hopefully he make it by Saturday. Man. I don't know what's going on with this standoff.
Not Secret Service will let him out. Secret Service will let him out.
I need to Google bail bonds in D.C., man.
Oh, buddy. I don't know if we're talking about regular municipal or like, you know, I feel like that's the feds might be coming after him. I don't know what he's been doing, but yeah. Yeah. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL where, look, the coaching carousel keeps churning with a whole bunch of weird stuff. Plus, I feel like there's something else that the Colts made some bad decisions about. We'll talk about that next.